I am your host, William Grant. I have been running a solar company here in Peoria for 6 years, and we have helped thousands of people go solar. I've been in the industry for going on 12 years now.
My name is Austin Baer. I'm your co-host here at the Solar Power Hour. I'm your local solar consultant here from Peoria. I've been in this industry for going on about 5 years. I've had the pleasure of helping a little over 400 families go solar here in the local community.
Hello, everyone. Today on the Solar Power Hour, we are going to be going over a few different things, some good, some bad. There has been a lot of news around solar and the big, beautiful bill that got passed recently. Donald Trump, the Monday following the big, beautiful bill, also passed an executive order. We're going to be talking about that, some changes in the state as well, and some good news on the solar industry. So welcome back to the Solar Power Hour. This is our 14th episode, and we're still going strong.
Yep. No, everyone, absolutely welcome again to the 14th installment. It's crazy that we're still rocking and rolling. The earth keeps on spinning, and the news does not stop. Again, I think we'll dance on it very well, that there's some good, some bad, a little bit of everything in between. But as per usual, we're going to give you the straight news so that you guys can be well informed. Again, one of the biggest things right now with the big, beautiful bill that has been passed, as you guys, I'm sure, are aware, that some funding has been on the chopping block and is now going away. One of those specific to our industry is the federal tax credit. And so just for everyone's basic understanding, the federal tax credit is 30% of everyone's total project. Does not matter how big or how small, but just that is a major proponent. So in the last couple of weeks, that's been ranging anywhere from, I'd say, $10,000 to $30,000 for the systems that I've been signing people up for. But that is scheduled to go away as of December 31st of this year. And so in order to claim that federal tax credit, now you are to be installed by the end of this year and turned on. But that was extended, or was supposed to be, until 2032, correct?
It was, yeah. So is it set, and this was actually put in place in Donald Trump's first administration. The tax credit was extended till 2032. And that is 7 years from now, which would have been amazing for our industry, for the solar industry as a whole, for the entire country. Because one of the things, and interestingly enough, every state has to play ball with solar as well. Every power company has the right to not allow net metering and not allow the feasibility of solar. Tennessee is one of the last ones that have never had a net metering program, or is the last state that's never had a net metering program. So this 30% tax credit hasn't even been utilized by the entire country yet, which is unfortunate. We need these power sources. And the way we do solar is different than other companies. We only do ownership. So we're going to speak a lot about that today and what we do differently. But the idea of that tax credit is that 30% of the total cost of that system and the batteries that are installed or any electrical upgrades that are needed, that would actually come off of someone's tax liability. So let's say you pay in $10,000 to the federal government throughout the year, and then you got a $10,000 tax credit because you went solar. You would actually get your $10,000 back and put it into your home, add equity, lower your power costs. And at the end of the day, you're getting your own tax dollars back that benefit the entire country, right? So those, that system would benefit the state, which would benefit our power consumption, which then would benefit the entire country, as well as offsetting a little bit of carbon emissions down the line after we offset the panel manufacturing output.
Right. An easy way to think about that, just for very easy, like black and white terms, instead of the federal government taking that money and trying to fix a pothole that never actually gets fixed on your street, you're actually putting that money towards your house and building equity by putting it towards an asset, as opposed to, again, not really ever seeing that money. So again, the government's not giving you free money. They're just simply reallocating money back to you. But this incentive has been around for years now at this point, which, again, the best time to go solar was 5 or 6 years ago. And that's, not to anyone's fault by any means, but that's also just the reality of the situation, is that once this goes away, the numbers are not going to necessarily look more feasible. However, solar will still make more sense than Ameren. But again, I know that the, just from a buyer standpoint or a homeowner standpoint, the feasibility does not become easier whenever you have to add on another 30% to your total project cost. And again, it is not just on the panels, it's on the battery, any electrical upgrades, the whole kit and caboodle. And so it is a very opportunistic time to, if you're ever wanting to do any electrical upgrades, or it's something that you're already going to have to do, you already know that you're going to have to do it, there's no reason not to have it all wrapped up into one project. And again, with our installation team being local, again, we co-own Oasis Electric. So everything we do is here locally. Everything is operated in here locally. Maintenance, servicing, the whole nine yards. But The idea is that we can have you installed and turned on operating before that deadline. There are a lot of companies that do not have a fluid process, especially when it comes to permitting the site survey. It's a lot more than just signing up and having panels dropped off. That's again where our expertise and professionalism does come into play, and I will say makes us a leading, or the leading factor in the solar industry right now. Is there's a lot of people that are going to sign up that are not going to make that deadline, and now their system is not going to be nearly what they thought it was going to be, especially from a numerical standpoint. So again, it's really kind of getting down to the wire. Every day does matter. Again, I would say our timelines still vary between 60 to 90 days. Obviously, it can be sooner, but your county for permitting really matters there as well. But the idea is that if you're listening to this now and you've been thinking, or you've been on the fence, it's time to get off the fence and make the decision, because come next year, obviously we'll still be here and able to help people out, but it's never going to be in someone's best interest to wait, considering that what's on the table now for people to take advantage of. And I don't mean to be a broken record with that, but I cannot, I feel like we're screaming it from the mountaintops metaphorically right now from our table here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about some things that happened before the big, beautiful bill got passed. So as a country, we have been adding on a ton of solar, which has been amazing for the country. It's the, by far, there are studies that show it is the cheapest and quickest to implement into the power grid, meaning the cheapest and quickest power source, which is amazing. We have been putting on exponentially more every single year. And we'll go over some of those fun facts down at the end of the podcast, just to end it on a light note. But before the big, beautiful bill got passed, I am so proud of my industry. All of us as competitors got together and started lobbying for relatively light changes to the big, beautiful bill. So we knew that we probably weren't going to get the 2032 tax credit end date, but we really shot for at least 3 years, 2 years, something that would give us an ease into a transition and let the industry adapt and pivot. But unfortunately, where we're sitting right now, as the big, beautiful bill got passed, the tax credit is set to end at the end of the year. So we have about, 5 months left. And one of the things that they did before the big, beautiful bill got passed as well is talk about what it means to be placed in service. Placed in service means the power company has to turn you on. Yeah. So there's the problem. That problem lies with Ameren's timelines or the power company's timelines and how fast they can get out there to actually inspect the system. Are they going to nitpick or find something wrong with the system and then we got to go out and fix it? And so it's not really that it's 30 to 90 days. Yes, that's our install timeline, but sometimes it takes another month after that. So we really do have another month and a half that we can even promise these tax credits. Right. And other competitors of ours may be a little bit misinforming their clients. And that will essentially just put another disdain or bad taste in people's mouths for solar. If you don't get the tax credit and you were promised that tax credit and you got $30,000 worth of equipment on your roof, how are you going to feel?
And I can count on one finger the amount of times I've had a system not pass inspection from Ameren coming out to my installs. And so, guys, we are not a perfect company, but gosh darn it, we're about as close as you can get in terms of solar. And it's not if a problem occurs, it's how it's handled that makes the difference there. And so very minimally do we ever even have an install that does not get approved on the first try. But even if there were to be something of that nature, no other company is going to be as responsive and timely about rectifying it and still making sure that you're installed. There are so many other companies that are not from our area that do not have the timelines that we do. And again, anyone that's in the Peoria area knows exactly what I'm talking about. If you've tried building a home or doing anything through the Peoria permitting process, it's not necessarily a walk through the flower fields. Alternatively, surrounding areas or counties, Woodford, Tazewell, Knox, Marshall, everywhere else that I get sent, it's a little bit more fluid of a process. So there's advantages and disadvantages, but the whole idea is every day is a bit of a blessing right now, because after we hit a certain point, this conversation is not going to be nearly as easy to have, because the harsh reality is going to be that there is going to be a cutoff day where you're not going to be installed by the end of this year. It's almost a replica, I feel like, of last year, because there's a deadline for net metering, the first wave, and it seemed like everyone really wanted to bottleneck in at the end. It's okay. I would rather people be installed than not at all, but it's also one of those things where I can't help but scratch my head and go, where was everyone 5 years ago whenever we felt like, A, the incentives were higher, and B, the timelines weren't nearly as stressful. But again, we're always here to help. That is really, again, at the end of the day, what the whole moral of this is that there is no one else that can lead this industry the way that we have or that is going to be here to service people after all these incentives do go away. And that still holds true. A lot of people are, I would be bracing for a lot of these companies to fly the coop as soon as this year ends up, because it's, the gold rush is over in the eyes of a lot of them. And I cannot stress that enough, that the reason Sun Collectors is different, is on a higher pedestal, and is ingrained in this community is because we don't only install, but we service our customers and other customers as well. We've almost been expecting the stay to come and had that foresight to know that, hey, you know, as in many states, it will dry up inevitably, and it is going to leave a lot of people high and dry, not with us being around. And so it's one of those things that I cannot, you know, express our professionalism enough, but everything up until the installation is obviously very important. We have a very, very finite deadline until that point. But also for everyone listening, I cannot express how important everything after the install, the servicing, the maintenance, having communication, a project manager, Oasis Electric. These are all things that only our company can say that we provide. And so while you're making these decisions about looking into solar or taking advantage of this tax credit while it's still around, just know that that's why our company is here. And we're able to confidently say that now is the time to do this to make sure you claim these incentives.
Yeah. And luckily we live in the state of Illinois. There are state level incentives still. There are power company rebates for the batteries, which does help out a ton. So, and the power rates just went up by 30%. So in where we are today, it's kind of a wash, but you know, with the power rates going up by 30% and the tax credit still available to people for the next couple of months, would probably be a good time to go solar, right? And at the end of the day, a lot of companies aren't going to be able to sustain. We've already lost some in our area due to net metering going away. And that was a big challenge, right? We got hit with a big challenge last year. We're going to get hit with a big challenge this year. It's the solar roller coaster for a reason. But at the end of the day, when these companies go out of business, they're going to leave people stranded. Right. And our goal is to, and our philosophy has always been to service not only our clients, but all these other clients, right? We have two calls in the last week of people need a re-roof. So panels need to be taken off, panels need to be put back on, and they weren't installed by us. So unfortunately, you know, we got to charge them the full cost of what that's going to be. We usually give our clients a little bit of a discount or argue with insurance companies for that. But at the end of the day, it's never going to be a good thing when these companies go out of business. What the buzz around the country is that there's going to be a fire sale of solar companies. You know, the cost for acquisition of a solar company is going to go way down because there's going to be a lot of supply on the market. A lot of what we talk about in here is just basic economics. And when companies can't figure out how to sell without net metering and sell batteries, they're going to really be struggling whenever there's no tax credit left. So going with the good and reliable company, doing your research, and I understand somebody comes in there and says, hey, you know, your power bill is 200. We can get you down to 180. Sign here, SOC credit pool. We own the, like the company owns the equipment. I get how that sounds good, but a lot of people listening are smart enough to know if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. So keep that in mind when you're doing your research and you're choosing a company and looking at things. We are going to be as honest as we possibly can about the deadlines and what our availability is and our install timelines to make sure that if we're telling you you're going to get the 30% tax credit, we're going to do everything in our power to get you that 30% tax credit and get you installed and the power company turning on your system before the end of the year.
Absolutely. And again, with that, it's the equipment, the process, the warranties, everything from start to finish that our company does is what's going to separate us. Again, some of the people that I've been signing up over the last week or two are now coming back to us for batteries, and we didn't have, you know, they might have gone with another company initially, but now that company is not here. And so in the end, we're still the ones that are ending up servicing them one way or another. And I can't express that enough that my wrestling coach, you know, he beat this into me in high school. So, hey, Coach Penny, I appreciate it, but you do it right, you do it light, you do it wrong, you do it long. And guys, by all means, I cannot, you know, reiterate this enough, but whenever it comes down to an asset that you're putting on your property, you always get what you pay for. And that is something that I've gotten to see firsthand, and I'm still experiencing it firsthand. But whenever you boil down to, again, the inverters, the panels, the warranties, the batteries, it all does add up. And going head to head with any of these other companies and seeing what they use, I stand here confidently and look in this camera and I tell you guys that no other company is going to be able to compete with us in our process. And again, I stand by that. I do not want to be the cheapest company, nor do we want to be the most expensive. But whenever it comes to peace of mind and knowing that you're getting quality of what you're putting your money into, that is absolutely where we excel. And I don't mind looking at these other company systems now. And, you know, it's, you know, I want to say it's unfortunate that people have gone that route, but at the same point in time, if they're happy with their system, awesome. But at the end of the day, do I know that ours are going to excel and we're going to be here to service ours? Also, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what we try to do is give people the best value proposition. We're not the cheapest cost-wise in town, but it's because of the materials we use, the dedication our team puts into installing it, and how strong it is, to be honest. I mean, a lot of these systems are getting tore up or their wires are hanging, their wires are getting cut up on the roof. Like, there's a million different reasons why a system would break down, and we try to mitigate that by doing the install the right way. A lot of companies can go out and install a system in a half a day when that system might take us a full day to do it because of the equipment we're doing, because of what we do with the conduit and hiding it. Because we believe this is going to be an asset on people's homes for 30 years. So we want to put in everything we can to make sure that it's going to last for 30 years and you're going to have as minimal problems as possible. And, you know, solar does break down. Things happen. You know, technology is not perfect. And if your system goes down, you want somebody there to fix it. You don't want to be calling up every single electrical contracting company, every single solar company left in the state in 5 years from now, trying to figure out who's going to fix this system. Because if you're still having a loan payment or a lease payment on that system, you're going to have a power bill and that payment. And that's just doubling up on things you don't want. And the idea is for people to pay it off as quick as possible to mitigate their costs. But at the end of the day, we're here to service not only our equipment and the equipment of others. And even if, you know, the tax credit goes away and the state level incentives go away today, we have a plan for people. And just circling back to the big, beautiful bill that got passed that's not so beautiful for our industry, the idea behind it, and I get where they're coming from to a certain degree, is to increase manufacturing here in the US, increase reliance on the US power that we could produce here naturally. But at the end of the day, even before the big, beautiful bill got passed, the IRA had set up where actually manufacturing facilities were getting a tax credit or a benefit for setting up a manufacturing facility here in the US. And then beyond that, if you were going to use US made equipment here in the US to install your own system, you would actually get an increase in the tax credit as well. So there was already a plan in place to increase the manufacturing of solar panels here, as well as make it cost effective because, you know, a manufactured good in the US is typically more expensive than other countries. And that's how it was. And before the big, beautiful, even before the big, beautiful bill got passed, it was $7 to $9 billion of manufacturing that got pulled, even before the bill got passed. So that's a lot of jobs. That's a lot of economic improvement. That's a lot of cities around wherever those manufacturing facilities are. There's a lot of cities that were dependent on that. You know, cities and planning, they were sitting there thinking, hey, look, we need to figure this out. We need to, like, okay, we're going to have this extra money from taxes. We're going to be able to tax on this. Like, there's a lot of benefit for cities and counties that those manufacturing facilities rely on. And then beyond that, think about all the people that work there and then would spend their money there. And like, it's just basic economics.
No, any of the articles that we pulled up in our office meeting, I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of jobs are on the chopping block right now. And again, with this whole industry, it's all a ripple effect. One thing leads to the next. And again, it's from, you know, the big, beautiful bill down to the state legislation to what you open in your Ameren statement every month whenever you get it in the mail. But it is, you know, their signing of papers up at the top level does impact whatever you get billed at on your monthly power expenses. And so we kind of got back on track with the big, beautiful bill. But to dig a little bit deeper on a legislative level, there's an executive order that was put into effect or was proposed as well. And so as of July 7, 2025, the executive order titled Ending Market Distorting Subsidies for Unreliable Foreign Controlled Energy Sources was proposed. And just to give a very, very brief overview, this is a very aggressively worded proposition. Just off the first lines, we're not going to read everything verbatim, but for too long, the federal government has forced American taxpayers to subsidize expensive and unreliable energy sources like wind and solar. The proliferation of these projects displaces affordable, reliable, and dispatchable domestic energy sources, compromises our electric grid, and denigrates the beauty of our nation's natural landscape. And then, moreover, reliance on so-called quote-unquote green subsidies threatens national security by making the United States dependent on supply chains controlled by foreign adversaries.
That's a lot to unpack there. Oh, man.
Man, so I didn't realize solar was just absolutely unraveling the threads of society this drastically, even though I have customers sending me messages saying, hey, thank you that my house light stayed on when the grid went down. And so, again, the way that I look at this when I read it, I see a lot of emotion. I see a lot of logic being displaced and a lot of emotion taking place of this. There's a lot of aggressive language, I would say, to blanket subject matters that I would say they're trying to overencompass a lot by just using very harsh language. And I don't think it accurately reflects what they're trying to do or say. To say that we're having unreliability or compromising our electric grid while trying to relieve stress on it just is counterintuitive to begin with. You know, a huge focal point of our prior episodes has been talking about the impact and the increase of stress and demand coming onto the grid and why solar and batteries is the solution for it, not the inverse. And so, again, just from a logical standpoint, it, you know, you could say, hey, I can see where they're coming from on some of this, but on other aspects, you know, this falls very short. And so one of the, you know, there's three main points on what it's really trying to say it wants to do here, but rapidly eliminate the market distortions and cost imposed on taxpayers by so-called green energy subsidies.
And green's in quotation marks. That's how petty it is.
Correct. Again, so they're really trying to make this seem, you know, I would say, I don't want to say to the uneducated, but to someone that's uninformed or that this is the first thing that they see, they might look at this and their first thought is going to be green energy is a nightmare. It has major ramifications of negative consequences. Every single person that I've signed up over the last 5 years has been incredibly grateful for their energy rates going down and the independence that they've had. Now, that's not to say that there aren't other companies, major corporations that are taking advantage of these federal tax credits and doing them, you know, I would say in a less than tasteful way, which is now throwing us into the mix as the little guys, but that's a whole different conversation. But I'll kind of let you talk about what this is meaning or what they're trying to get apart from, you know, in regards to the other companies, you know, outside of the U.S. versus inside the U.S. or, you know, this dependency that they're trying to get rid of. But I guess the way that I look at it, and tell me if I'm inaccurate on this, but every single appliance that we have, you know, aside from the phones here, the laptops, the TVs in our living room, you know, a tablet that your kid's using, everything is composed of materials from all over the planet. And Absolutely. So, you know, I think one of the biggest fallacies that people in our industry will say, or whenever they're sitting at a table with the homeowners saying that this is 100% US made panel, you can have things manufactured in the US all day long. That's awesome.
Piecing it together.
Right. Exactly. There could be an assembly line in Georgia, but every piece in that assembly line could be from Russia, Japan, and China. And so it's just, you know, how nitty gritty or how much of a bow tie do you want to put on it? And so again, I think one of our biggest points that we bring to the table is our transparency and our willingness to have the hard conversation or to be straight up with people, but to not sugarcoat things. And so, you know, whenever this executive order talks about just the displacement or, you know, where our energy sources are coming from, where's everything coming from? Exactly. I guess would be right. Okay. Why are we cutting the tie at solar panels or renewable energy? Why not? I mean, again, I know that there's tariffs and whatnot, but they're not in an executive order for 45 days. So what the hell are we doing?
I know. And I get the ideology behind trying to move all the manufacturing here to the US and being completely independent from every other country, which is kind of, you know, a shame. We as a country have always been open to other people and trade, which has gotten us to where we are today. But when you're talking about taking away all of these different levels of manufacturing, it's wild, right? That's a generational change. Like if we're trying to literally make everything that we consume in the US in the US, it is going to be very bad. It's going to be like wage slavery all over again if we keep trying to do all this. The cost of goods is going to go up exponentially, and we're going to end up killing the American dollar way faster than we ever intended. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, if the tax credit goes away and that's all that happens, there are some talks about supply chain and the executive order as well, trying to cripple the supply chain of solar, which is very concerning for our industry. At the end of the day, with that executive order, they had given the Department of Treasury and Department of Interior 45 days to then decide how they can end it quicker. So our tax credit, the ownership tax credit, goes away at the end of this year. There were still a couple more years for solar fields and sellability of the tax credit, leases and power purchase agreements and commercial systems. But it seems like they're trying to expedite the process. They have 45 days of that bill, so we're probably down to like 35 days for the Department of Interior and the Department of Treasury to figure out how to end it quicker.
So, and again, the silver lining in that, I know that that was a lot of doom and gloom, which, you know, that is part of the reality of the situation on the industry, but at the same point in time, not so much in the idea that, again, power rates, there's a lot for everything that we have going against us. There's always an equilateral amount of things that we have in the tide with us as well. It is a yin and yang industry. And I will say that adaptability is one of our strongest assets, is knowing how to move forward. One of the things, I don't know if anyone caught that while we were saying, but the commercial federal tax credit is still there. That's another huge thing that we're going to be able to help people with. Small business owners or, you know, small, large commercial, but, you know, veterinary clinics, catering businesses, restaurants, anything in between, that is still going to be around. And we've really started branching out and helping people on the commercial level, which is something we're capable of doing. So again, it's not like it's all being stripped away, but they are really phasing it out, and it's not doing anything, you know, I would say positive for the homeowner just on a residential level. The government's not paying your electric bill. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's up to you to take control of that and do what you will with it. But just know that, you know, again, I cannot stress it enough. After this year, the funding is it's same thing as every year before. They're not putting more funding into it. So if I hear one more person say, I'm going to wait to see what they do, if they put more into it, I'm going to pull my hair out.
Absolutely. One of the things in the Big Beautiful Bill, or not the Big Beautiful Bill, but the executive order, if you hear it in the language, talking about the landscape of the U.S., right? So as it sits right now, with these AI data centers and manufacturing facilities that are coming online in the U.S., we're expecting a 30% increase in consumption of power. 30% is quite a bit when you think about the entire country's consumption of power. It's like adding a whole, you know, five different states or six or seven different states on top of what we're already consuming. So we have 30% in consumption. And then now we're killing the quickest to implement and cheapest power source that we can, which is solar and wind. We're trying to. What are we going to compensate that with, right? So you're talking about the beautiful landscape of the U.S. So now we're going to start mining more coal in our lands, our federal lands. Then we're going to set up more coal plants. I don't know if anyone's been around Pekin and Edwards, but there's not. It's kind of a ghost town around Edwards.
Right.
You don't want a solar field in your backyard, and you don't want a wind turbine in your backyard on someone else's property, but you're okay with a coal mine or a lithium mine or a coal plant going up. You know, it's a shame. Just a quick tangent. My where I was born and raised in North Carolina, my father's property in Krause, they just opened up a lithium mine 3 miles from my dad's house. What do you think that's going to do to the environment, our plants, our animals, our water supply? Everything that we have out there is at risk now. And it's just a shame when things like that can open up so quickly, because again, as a country, we still have a decent amount of freedoms. And if it's someone else's land and they have the right to sell it, and then they get the approval from the different levels of legislation, that's fine. You know, that's someone else's right. So when we talk about our beautiful landscape, it's going to get a lot worse if we're trying to produce 30% more power at a crazy cost. And then also having all these new coal plants and coal mines and nuclear facilities and natural gas facilities. None of that stuff is pretty. I don't know if anybody's ever seen a substation or a coal plant. They're not the prettiest things in the world. So I would advise people to put things in perspective. I know no one wants change and people are reluctant to change, but at the end of the day, a solar field looks a hell of a lot better than a coal plant. In my opinion, I could be wrong.
No, and that's, again, there's no end all be all. We're never going to sit here and say that solar is the end all definitive solution, but we are always going to argue that it is one of the best proponents. And again, guys, on a very basic logical level of thinking, the sun has come up every day since the Earth's existed. It is literally the most abundant source of energy that we have known to mankind right now. And so to not take advantage of it while we are here, especially if it's a healthy alternative compared to what we have, let us do it for the love of God. You kind of want to segue into some more positive information just to kind of go on some brief history stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be, I think everybody needs a little bit of positivity. And, you know, the solar industry is still positive, especially in the state of Illinois. But yeah, just be wary of other companies and what they're promising. I mean, if you want real information, we got it for you.
And so this is just kind of talking about, we were always trying to, you know, look for recent information or things that kind of put things into perspective. And so this is an article from the New Yorker. It's recent from this month, but this is kind of cool just to see the rapidly, the technological development over solar since its induction. But it took from the invention of the photovoltaic solar cell in 1954 until 2022 for the world to install a terawatt of solar power. The second terawatt came 2 years later, and then the third will arrive on later this year or earlier next. And so just the rapid development of where we've been able to go. And again, you can look at that as a microcosm for, you know, technology and all, but just to see where we went with the first terawatt of solar, it took essentially, you know, almost 70 years, or 68 to be exact, and then another 2 years, and then just the rapid expansion. And that's ridiculous. I mean, we're talking about a terawatt. You know what I mean? That's not a minute amount by any means, but to go from 68 years to two, and that's, again, I mean,
that's some exponential change right there.
Correct. And so again, it's just, it makes you think, you know, hey, where the technology is going and what we're able to do, but also to cut the funding on something that's so rapidly expanding, just
right.
My goodness gracious. Another, just a fun way of putting it in perspective, people are putting up a gigawatt's worth of solar, the rough equivalent of the power generated by one coal-fired plant every 15 hours. Solar power is now growing faster than any other source in history and is closely followed by wind power, which is really another form of energy from the sun, since it's differential heating of the earth that produces the wind and turns the turbines. So for all of you giant solar, for your wind proponents out there, we'll just chalk that up as another point under Team Solar. But again, just kind of cool to know. I mean, you know, next time you feel the wind, just know it's the differential on the earth, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Last year, 96% of the global demand for new electricity was met by renewables. And in the United States alone, 93% of new generating capacity came from solar, wind, and ever-increasing variety of batteries to store that power. And so, I mean, if that's not just a clear indicator of everything that I feel like our company's been preaching since its induction, but it's an inevitability. This wheel in the sky keeps on turning, but power demand and rates are going to keep going up, but we are always going to be looking for alternatives. But to see that we are in now the 90 percentile, or in the 90% of where our offset is coming from, is now from renewables. That's where our state demand is right now. Our legislation is stating by 2050 we're supposed to be 100% clean energy as a state. We're 25 years away from that, which may seem like a long time, but I'm 29 now, so the days don't get slower, it seems like, and they only keep speeding up. So, and whether or not we hit that goal in 25 years doesn't change the fact that that's what we're still pushing towards. And again, if everyone looks on their Ameren bill today and you go onto the second page and you scroll all the way down to the state and local taxes and other mandated charges, that part has only probably quintupled since I've started. And so, a few years back, there was only, I would say maybe two or three charges on that section. And every single one of those provisions is something that you're paying into for a local or one of Ameren's programs that costs money. And so the state program is coming from one of those, that renewable energy adjustment. But the point is that you guys are paying into this every month. And Ameren does not give a damn whether you go solar or not, because they're the ones taking your money. You are the ones that are responsible for that allocation. And so the idea is that you guys are either paying for other people to go solar every month, or you're able to go solar yourself and eliminate most of that off of your bill. But that is just, in essence, where that funding is going to come into play.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about, the power, the 2025 or the 25 year, we're going to be 100% renewable aspect. So there's a couple different things I want to point out there. A, the incentives are dropping down, right, on the state level. That's one thing. But there's only so many people that can go solar in a certain area. So, you hear 25 years and you're like, oh, I got all the time in the world to think about going solar. Well, your power rates are going up exponentially. The consumption of the grid is going up exponentially. And at the end of the day, there's only so many people in your neighborhood that can go solar. Everyone in a neighborhood can't go solar, because if they did, you'd be feeding too much back to the grid and you would cause a transformer to blow. So there is a limit. So you don't actually have 25 years. I'd say you got another good 5 or 6 years to actually go solar.
And Ameren, if I'm not mistaken, has a map that actually shows the capacity factor for their territory. And I also know, as a few months ago, there are some areas that are much deeper reddish orange than other areas. And those areas are going to hit their capacity very quickly. There will be a day where someone in your neighborhood, if hopefully not you, but go to interconnect with Ameren for solar, and they will get an X or a no saying, no, we've hit our capacity limit. There are people now on the West Coast that are already experiencing that right now. And again, their power rates being as high as they are out there, I couldn't imagine getting an $850 bill one month, trying to get rid of it, and then being told or rejected by the power company and saying, you don't have the option to do so anymore.
Yep. And we're already at phase two. Batteries are phase two, right? So before last year, 1-to-1 net metering program, you get one credit per power you produce and you consume that much power and it's a wash. Well, now we're having to use batteries to store that energy and let that power out at night. Because if you think about the increased consumption of power and solar energy, we sometimes, as a state, and Austin will read a little bit more about this from California, but we can actually produce more power than we can use. And what are we going to do with that power? Well, we store it in batteries and let it out at night to mitigate having to use natural gas or other resources to produce power in the evening times.
And so in California, at one point, and this was as of May 25th, renewables were actually producing a record 158% of the state's power demand. Over the course of the entire day, they produced 82% of the power in California, which, as of the spring, surpassed Japan to become the world's fourth largest economy. Which a crazy little comparison to throw in at the end there. This is wild, though, just for batteries and just the storage capacity and capability of what they have going on. So the battery storage capability has increased 76% based on this year's projected estimates. And so at or during the evening, those batteries are often the main supplier of California's electricity. So that entire state, their main power supply is based off of batteries now. And so again, that's something that we're 6 months deep into in our state. And again, I cannot, there's just so many parts where I see history repeating itself, but we're about 10 years behind California. And so we can look at their state as a prerequisite. All that you see on the news, though, is how high their rates are exponentially, the brownouts, the blackouts, and how little control people have. people don't really complain when things are going well. So the people that are that have that independence aren't the ones that you're hearing the complaints from. It's all the other people that are being subjected to these absurd rates that, you know, they don't really have an alternative. And so, again, I think that people are really starting to feel those pains now as you're opening up your Ameren bills and you're noticing it's another 30 to 40% higher. Yeah, wake up and smell the coffee. It's not going to go down, but you have the option to do so. And again, this is where it gets even harsher, but solar is not a good fit for everyone, which again, we've only said 1,000 times. But so for the people that it does make sense for, please wake up and smell the coffee. But so just to kind of put a pin on that, batteries can smooth out some of the variability from those times when wind isn't blowing. So they're really using it as a like an alternative or a buffer out in California. But as a result, California is so far using 40% less natural gas to generate electricity than it did in 2023, which again, in terms of statistics, that is probably one of the, you know, I would say in global warming and everything going on right now, that's one of the better things that you'll ever read. And so it's just nice to know that there is a positive effect finally from what our industry is doing. You hear about all the incentives, and a lot of times with our industry, you know, there's, well, again, we'll say the good, the bad, and the ugly, and there is a lot of positive with it, but a lot of times you'll hear about the negatives as well. And so to actually, you know, start to see the impact of what we're doing on a just a national level, at least. Obviously, we know on a global scale, solar's had a massive impact. But to see, you know, and on our home shores, and to know that we're putting our time and efforts into an industry that's having a long-term effect, positive effect, that's I'm able to get behind that.
Yeah. And the contradiction here, as you're kind of hearing and seeing from the articles that we're reading, I mean, good news and bad news, but neither here nor there, in my opinion, it doesn't seem like solar is that unreliable. It doesn't seem like it's straining the electrical grid. It doesn't seem like it's costing people a ton and a ton more on the nationwide level. You know, when you look at coal plants historically have been some of the most heavily subsidized things that we've ever done as a country, right? So, and then it's also coal plants and coal mines don't exactly add to the beautification of our country. And so it seems like there's so much contradiction here. And, you know, those of you who've watched politics or been around the block for a while, you probably understand that where the money goes is where the votes go. So if there's a lot of push for coal and there's a lot of lobbying for that and other resources, and it outnumbers the solar companies and all these independent people, how much they can throw into a pot of funding to lobby for something, might be where we're grinding our gears a little bit and misinforming the American people. And I think that at the end of the day, this is not going to last long, right? I think that there is going to be some kind of change. And this is all just speculation, but I don't think that we can do this for very long and not have a solar tax credit and not be funding something like this. You got to think, you know, 5 years, 30% increase in consumption. How are you going to be able to put that many nuclear facilities online? How are you going to be able to put that many coal mines and coal plants? Like at the end of the day, we're going to run out of coal here in the U.S., mine in the U.S. So then we're going to be buying coal from one of our foreign adversaries, as our fine leader put it. You know, and, you know, not to be too political, I know we're going down the weeds on some stuff that got passed, but, you know, Austin and I really don't consider ourselves one or the other. We really sit in the middle of all this political storm because it's more information, right? We want to see in between the lines, see what's black and white, and not do this whole gray area crap that everybody else tries to do. And you got to be on this fence or the other. It's just, hey, what are the facts and where are we at?
Right. And again, it's never going to be more complicated than that. We have a finite amount of control of what's going on in the industry, but at the end of the day, we will always be, I will say, the beacon of light, no pun intended, for, you know, especially Central Illinois. Again, we don't try and overcomplicate it. We don't try and outstretch ourselves. You know, Illinois is its own beast, and, you know, Peoria and surrounding areas, that's our home. And so, again, we're always going to, you know, put in the time and the effort to make sure that we're servicing the community, whether it's information installs or, you know, just all the community events that we're at. But that's kind of the whole idea. So I'm happy with where we're at right now. You're happy with this episode, how it sits?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, just, you know, it's going to be positive. It's going to be a positive end to the year. I think everyone's going to start waking up and realizing how important it is to go solar. You know, unfortunately for anybody listening outside of the state of Illinois, a lot of the things we do talk about are relative to our state. And with that being said, you know, I feel for the solar companies who are completely reliant on the solar tax credit, because if that's all you get as a state and your power rates are relatively low, that's going to be a hard pill to swallow for people. And I really do feel for those companies. And, you know, if anyone's going out of business or any reps out there listening, if you need a home and you want some sustainability and good moral values from a company and you're looking for a position elsewhere, we're happy to hear you out. And we do have a pretty stringent, you know, interview process. And we do want to know what you're made of and how you portray yourself to our clients or your own clients and get some referrals. But again, if you're out there and you're missing a home right now because companies are shutting down, we're here for you. Just contact Sun Collectors and let us know if you're looking for a position. And again, contact us if you have a house that looks like it might be viable for solar. And we only do ownership. We're not going to lease it to you or sign a power purchase agreement with you. But at the end of the day, with all the changes and the instability of not only our industry, but the country at the time, and power outages and weather storms and countries threatening to shut down our power grid, which happened a couple of days ago. Now, there's a lot of instability out there. So the one thing we can do is help you with your power cost and some backup energy from batteries. But yeah, it's been a great episode. Sorry for the doom and gloom, but hopefully we ended up more on a positive note, at least for the people around us.
Oh, thank you guys. Again, you own your house, you own your car, while you're still renting your power.
Absolutely. We'll see you next time on the Solar Power Hour.
Thanks, guys.